16th of August, 2015. This is Wolf Spirit Radio, this is Ever Beyond, and this is JP, your host for the next 2 hours. Tonight, I have a return guest. We've been here before, we've had fun, we keep having fun, we always have fun. So without very much further ado, I'd just like to introduce the hostess of The Witching Hour, and I can't remember the other name, and one other show in the other week, and you'll tell me about it. Hyperspace. Anyway, that's on now. What the hell is it? A paranormal radio?
No. Oh, Dark Matter Digital Network.
Dark Matter. So I should have let you do this. Solaris. Hang on. Let's turn the echo on. Solaris Blue Raven. There we go. They can hear the echo. You can hear the echo.
That's right. The only way to go. Make sure you have some thunder in the background, you know.
That would be a good jingle to have.
Isn't it?
A Thor kind of thunderbolt.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, good evening and welcome. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Thanks for inviting me on. It's great to join you again.
Yeah, well, I always enjoy rapping with you because, there's so many different angles of... the inner world, the interface world, the inner face world of all of the different aspects of our electronic world and the sort of human world, and you have been living in that interface for a long time, not because you chose to consciously on this level, I suppose, but you've experienced it. Oh, no, we've lost the call. I've been experiencing intermittent internet all day, and we lose it for about a minute, and then it comes back. And I just need to cover this moment while Solaris is reconnecting from her position in the States. So we'll see. Oh, that's it. 2 minutes into the show, we have one. Great. Let's hope that there's only one. I've been getting them every so often, and are we back yet? No, not quite yet. Let's see if we can get back into the station. Turn it off and back on again. There, nope. And let's go to TNSR. Oh, so we'll be connected with TNSR when we are back. Oh, we're nearly back, almost back, just connecting. The picture's bouncing, yes, I know. There we go. Where did it go? Yeah, so we're just reconnecting. All right, welcome back. Sorry about that. I've been getting some intermittent internet outages in the last few weeks, which really are. Solaris, you're back with me.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on here.
Yeah, I've been getting some internet intermittency.
I see.
Over the last couple of weeks. I don't think it's people... Well, unless it's like people just regularly getting the button, but it's probably more like a moth that's caught in a spider's web that is in the telephone exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wet, and when the dead moth's body kind of flings against the switches, it... burns everything out and shorts
Lovely.
Things.
Well, you know, between you and then there's a thunderstorm over here that's overhead, so we'll play it by ear. If you lose me, you'll know what it is. It's an electrical storm.
Right,
but
okay.
That was on your end, yeah.
Yeah, that was my end, so maybe it's your turn. But so, welcome back and welcome in. So, Solaris Blue Raven from the mountains of Colorado. In the middle of a thunderstorm. How very appropriate. It's not midnight. It's almost coming up to midnight in the UK anyway. We'll be talking around midnight. So, what's been going on for you?
Just writing, training, doing radio shows, and doing readings and sessions on people and all sorts of stuff. Just multitasking, pretty much. That's about it.
As we do, as you do.
And watching the world go by.
Watching the world go down the pan. So, actually, readings... What happens? What would happen if somebody came along to have a reading from you? How would they end up?
Well, chaos in motion. No, usually I just do the timeline astrology. I do a check on them. I do a workup on their grid, on what I call their grid, their four-body system, and their multidimensional design. And then we start accessing areas where they're focusing their attention and what timeline they're on, what dimensional space they're working in, and what needs to be corrected on their course. And also what I address is the false matrix, of course, and a lot of it's based on what they choose to manifest versus where they're going by control and manipulation. And this isn't just about mind control, but this is about where people are heading and that are getting controlled and manipulated subconsciously. So I'm working on that, and just kind of, you know, each unique person, each one's unique and individual, so we just go and let the energies run accordingly. And so far it's worked very, very well. So that's what I've been up to, mainly. And, you know, it's ebb or flow. You know how those things work. I mean, I just get a hit. All of a sudden I get a bunch of people wanting me to read for them, and then, you know, how that works. So that's fine.
Excellent, excellent. So, yeah. That, I mean, wow. Okay, so there's a lot to cover there.
It's multiversal. Yeah, yeah. I'm not these little readers that just sit there with a bunch of cards. Mm. I mean, I do a lot of things on a multiversal level. Plus, I have a lot of expertise in different areas, so I can troubleshoot their weaknesses. And a lot of people just need some counseling. Mm. They just need advice. They need information to bounce back and forth. That's what I've noticed a lot of people need, because we're dealing in a world where most people don't have anything in common with each other, unless it's a linear, you know, communication. I mean, when you talk to the bigger scenery and the bigger picture, they need somebody in a spiritual design to assist them, and that's where that comes in.
So what is, are you talking about anything connected with what's called human design? Is that the same thing?
Well,
or
I don't call
different?
It human. I mean, human is a program. It's basically a false description of what we are. We're multidimensional beings in suits. And I think to call yourself a human is a disservice to who you are as a multidimensional being. So I never use that terminology. But yeah, I think people get pulled into false matrices based on man's version of reality, which is based on a lie. And you, as well as I know, how we get inducted into the world and the illusion of, and everything is fed to us, and it's all deception and editing and censoring, and there's no truth to it. And then when people grow up and get older in the illusion of time, which doesn't exist, they realize that they've progressed onto a level of consciousness that doesn't relate to where they're at. So, you know, and then you have to do it all over again? I don't think so. You know, when we transfer.
So that's a, I think people are having trouble with their internet here. if I tell them now to refresh, that's not helpful. Hang on, I need to actually type it. Refresh again. I keep getting this internet problem, and I'm gonna have to have words with people.
And you better talk to the internet god.
Yeah, I need to, first of all, make some sacrifices. I've got a couple of chickens.
No animal sacrificing. Yeah.
Hey.
Leave some honey.
I had some good news from my chickens. I thought I'd lost one, but the other day, suddenly, scoot, 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 boom, Buckety, in a perfect condition, not looking at all ragged, not looking at all unhealthy, in a very sort of perfect but hungry condition. So I was very pleased to see her again, because I thought she'd been taken by a fox. Anyway,
maybe she was taken by a UFO.
Maybe she's been she's been abducted and modified. She's a genetically modified chicken.
Watch out for
chicken.
Those eggs.
Yeah, that's right.
Better watch out. They might be.
They might be alien love bite eggs.
That's right.
Yes. So. Okay, so what I'm saying is that there's a lot of different things in there that you're looking at. So, okay, I totally agree. We're multidimensional beings living in a human skin suit. So when you talk about human, are you describing it's like Lamborghini or Ford or stuff like that? Is that the kind of thing you're talking about when you're saying human design?
No, I don't even use the terminology human. It's just a suit. It's just a space suit we use to occupy ourselves while we're here. That's the bottom line. It's just a shell we wear. And of course, we can take it with us depending on the spiritual work we do with the DNA activation and light body, as you know. But I don't focus on the terminology human. Like I said, it's just a suit to get you to your destination. What's really intriguing is the soul, the spirit, the consciousness within that emanates through the suit. And the skills associated, which of course come from soul extensions past multiple lifetimes, whether they're simultaneous basically being lived in the illusion of time and space. But yeah, a lot of things are very complex, but I don't think people realize how complex they are. You know, they just think they're just these bodies wandering the earth, and they have no idea their soul's essence of origin. They don't get where they come from. They don't understand that they're not from here. They, you know, it's just like Amnesia 101.
Right. And I'm talking from personal, I've experience a lot of that kind of amnesia in mm-hmm. this existence, and there's certain times when I think, I must have done this to myself. You know, like in Star Trek, when they give themselves amnesia because they don't want to go back down the same path.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be one of the reasons that I kind of chose to, because I can't understand any other reason why I would do so.
I think it's an erasure that happens here, especially with mind control. I mean, there's a lot of that going on where there's an erasure that takes place, and then people don't have recall of where they've been. But at the soul level, everything is accessible at the cellular level. I mean, we can access the Aphelite Akashics through cellular design, so that's not hidden to us. But I think sometimes in order to fulfill a mission here on the timeline, we put things aside so that we're not distracted by the emotional aspects of where we've been. I mean, some people might be more over emotional if they had access to a previous lifetime where it was very traumatic or whatever it is, that even childhood trauma. So they tend to, you know, push these things aside and cast them aside, and that's okay. Because they're focusing on something on a higher level, and in order to clear all this stuff, we have to move in the bigger energies, the more higher frequency oriented energies to clear this stuff.
So you use higher energies to clear the stuff. So I'm not appearing stupid, but I'm just interested for the audiences, like, because you you said a lot in like a minute, and I want to break some of it down because it's fascinating mm-hmm. sound, you know. So, and these are the things that you read and where you've gotten the ability
it's part of the
to
DNA.
Read. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from my celestial design. I mean, I am what I am, I guess. It's like not the Popeye thing, but I am what I am. I've always had an ability. Yeah, really. It's always been full light harmonic. And what I do is just take things from the lowest to the highest frequency. But I think a lot of it has to do with DNA activation and ascension work and working in the higher frequencies to a point where there's no dialogue associated. There's just frequency which just blasts right through and clears any debris or anything that could be potentially obstructing somebody. So that's what I just focus on, the frequencies associated on a higher level of consciousness. And of course, that's about raising consciousness too. When we lower ourselves, and you know this, when we get into the lower astral realm, we get stuck into these coarse environments where we don't belong. And of course, it takes spiritual work to move out of those. It takes spiritual discipline, mental discipline, physical discipline, diet, training, all sorts of things that are a combination to clear all that and move to the next level.
Right. And so when you're looking at somebody, what sort of tools do you use? Do you use dowsing?
Not really.
Or some sort of muscle checking, body checking, or is it just like you can read it? Does it appear like a screen?
No, I just kind of do reading. It's a knowing. It's just a real laser beam kind of information code that I access. I just start running energy and it's right there. And also, sometimes I'll use some divinity, depending if they want some cards or not. I have some divinity cards that I like, or oracle, more oracle-oriented. I like those. But most of the time, I just go with what I am. I am the instrument. So, I can use other things. I like them. You know, it's fun to use dowsing and other things. But most of my readings are done on the Internet, so they're not in person. I work around the world, so most of the people have never met me in person in the illusion of.
In the illusion of in person, so
right,
yeah,
right of their imagination.
That's right. You could be several people, all pretending to be just one person. You know,
well, like, multidimensional. We're multifaceted, but not that we have multiple personalities. But we are multidimensional beings, and with that comes soul extensions that have different formulas and personalities, but not in the sense of schizophrenic, but in a sense of gifts and abilities.
So yeah. We're multicellular.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good terminology, JP.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I just thought of that. I've had some good ones today.
Good.
See, I was thinking about the Queen before, and she's like barely regal. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, but, so this, the aspect of the multiple soul, now this is something that's been coming up recently, of the soul being larger than a single person, as it were, to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not it's not here in the same way that our skin suit.
Well, it does interconnect. It is plugged into you.
It's plugged in. How does it hook in? This is the question I've always asked.
It connects in through your psyche. It connects in through your electromagnetic field. It connects in through your four-body system. It connects in through your secondary circulatory system and your heart chakra, your centers. Mm-hmm. And it goes into your blood cells and atoms. It's consciousness. So it's connected and interconnected into the consciousness code, which, of course, interconnects with the full light universal codes of source, what I call prime source, full light universal energy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely, the soul is connected in. And that's one of the reasons that when people go through traumatic events and they go through issues where they're dealing with so many things, they let go of the wheel, they can't control and they can't handle it anymore, and then this oversoul comes through, which is really the ascended master consciousness, which descends in and takes the helm, which is what some people call the Christ and a lot of other beings. It's really your ascended master consciousness that's connected to that code that connects in and actually oversees your trauma, assists you at the highest level of consciousness. So it's really a complex design when people start looking at it from that perspective. But, you know, I don't, once again, I think a lot of people don't pay attention to what happens. They just feel it and know something's different when they have that kind of an interaction.
Mm. So let's talk about what you talked about, the four bodies. That's the thing that hooked me there. You talked about the four body system. Now, I have six. I have physical, etheric, emotional. So it's physical, emotional, mental, personality, soul, and monad. Now, that monad what might be what you were just describing as the ascended master consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can use whatever formula works for you, but yeah, I usually go by the four-body system with the emotional, mental, physical, and etheric.
Right.
And we all have to understand that those subtle energies ascend. The whole idea behind those is to clear the debris and the programming associated with these, like especially the emotional and mental body, and then clear those and then ascend them to the next level, which is more light body oriented, where we drop the density. Otherwise, there's trauma stored in there and false programming, which is based on mental issues. You know, it could be from childhood, it can be from people and MKUltra type stuff, you know, all sorts of things that happen.
Thank you. Listen, I just need to make the announcement. I've been having internet issues where they, you know, I just get suddenly disconnected for no reason, and I'm going to give people hell when, you know, the weekend finishes. And actually, what I want to do is manifest fiber broadband, which is the last thing that the government wants to do. it's like I'm the last on the list of what the government wanted to do to get everybody to in super fast broadband in Britain. You'd be amazed at how rubbish my broadband is. But anyway, without complaining too much, because it's going to cut me off again, but it's been suffering some very intermittent things, because basically it's a piece of wire that's buried under a bit of wet soil, and it's not very good as a digital data line. It's you know, not bad as a phone line, but that was like 100 years ago. Meanwhile, okay, so back to so multidimensional beings being I was talking with Tolek a few weeks ago, and he was describing this soul. I like to look at everybody's model. His soul is we decided it was like the pizza slice model. You know, the soul is the pizza, and each person gets a slice in their body. Would that be analogous to what we're talking about, this the multicellular life?
No, not where I come from.
Okay.
It's a complete unit unto itself that's merged with a higher collective of the multiversal consciousness. So in other words, there are multiple soul energies and consciousness that are themselves complete and encapsulated in their own field, which are merged and connected into the great fabric of the full light universe. So now there's not this fraction of a piece here and a piece there. There's no fragmentation. And you know, a lot of people say there's fragmentation with the soul. That's impossible. Souls are immortal, and they're beyond 26 billion years old, plus or minus. That's my estimate. You can't destroy a soul. You cannot. If you have a soul, it's an immortal design. And what people don't understand is that you're not just from here. You're from other worlds and other universes, multiverses. You have to acknowledge that. And even if you come with amnesia, you still have to acknowledge your source energy. And this is why we're so drawn to the stars. This is why we're so drawn to the multiverse and space. And that's our home. That's our home. So it's easy for us to be calibrated to that naturally through psychic, you know, connection. You there?
Yep.
Oh, good, because there's thunder outside.
Oh.
I'll let you know if my...
It's all right. I've got a nice... I'll give you a blanket if you need, and you can sort of cower in the corner. I don't know.
Oh, no, I don't do things like that.
No, no.
I'm more like Tesla. I stand out in the lightning.
You stand out in the lightning with a sword. get me. Come on. Bring it.
Come on. That's all you got.
Mm. Actually, have you seen the film Powder?
You know, I did a long, long time ago. Yeah.
It's about a boy who was basically, his mother got struck by lightning just before he was born and died. And he's like a lightning boy. His consciousness is like lightning.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it was pretty decent. That was an all right film.
It was a good film. I enjoyed it, especially because the character, Powder, actually is called Jeremy, which is my first name. I got all these little quotes about, you know, I've never played them because, you know, I don't want to appear sort of bloated, but, you know, it says, Jeremy, you're a super genius. We can say all these things.
Put it on your refrigerator.
Yeah. Well, not everybody would agree. So hang on a second. So the soul being connected in with the collective. Now, when you said that, I saw this kind of amorphous blob thing connected in with a huge amorphous blob that was made of lots of other amorphous blobs. Do you have a solid kind of conception of them, or are they amorphous blobs in your mind as well?
They don't look like that at all. To me, they're just energy lines. They're lines of energy. It's like a grid, but not the kind of grid you'd see here on this world or on a motherboard or something. It's a little more complex than that, but it's more just lines of energy and bright lines of energy. I mean, really bright. So that's the way I see it anyway. It's not this globulous thing. It's an essence. It's a directional frequency. It has intelligent design behind it. And it connects into, you know, you can call it the celestial family, but many different species. And this is why I think it's interesting when people are worried about being extraterrestrial, when we are extraterrestrial. Our DNA is extraterrestrial. So we have all these components to be and actually shape-shift into a certain component of an off-world species. So, and I don't know if you hear that thunder back there. It's right over the house. But
exciting.
So wonderful.
Well,
yeah,
you know what they
fried,
say.
You
know what they say? That anything that is said during a thunderstorm is incredibly significant.
Well, I guess, yeah.
And listen, something just agreed with me in your room.
Well, that was my wind chime.
There
you go. I just actually closed one of the windows right in front of the computer. Just in case the water comes in.
All right. Oh, my. You're that close to the elements.
Well, I live up in the mountain, you know. So I'm right here. There's nothing. There's me in the mountain and the sky.
You, the sky, and the mountain. How do you presume? Do you have a car?
Of course. The illusion of cars. Yeah.
You have an illusionary conveyance.
Yeah, I have something they call a vehicle.
So yeah, this is the kind of field I like to have my speakers talk on. You know, a clear construction of the non-visible universe without resorting to bloody angels and demons.
Right.
It's
well,
like,
that's the problem. Everybody stereotypes what's there.
Yes.
And they define it based on their emotional content and their programming, whether it's fear-based or even positive. I mean, why can't it just be neutral space and consciousness and motion? Why does it have to be defined as a demon or this or that? And of course, you know, I come from the mysticism background of paganism and also the craft, and I'll tell you, I transcend all those things because you have to look at it from aspect of consciousness and the components associated with aspects of, say, deity and things like that. But yeah, I agree with you. I think people would be a lot more advanced if they just let everything go with their programming and their emotional content and just ascend to understanding its consciousness and motion, its adaptable consciousness. We can program it, we can create, we are co-creators of the universe, and we can redefine the boundaries of what we have. This is why mind control is such a big deal, because what they do is they create alternate spin-offs of what they want to manifest here on the timeline, because they're masters of what they do, opposed to the people that aren't prepared, are not trained, they're afraid of mysticisms, therefore they're afraid to create their own reality. And this is a huge deal, because you have to dive into these waters in order to understand how consciousness works.
Exactly. And it's the creating of the realities that has a... We've been told not to go there. You know what I mean? Oh, you mustn't do that. Oh, that's all this. This is dark. This is, you know, mustn't. Yeah. And yet everybody is doing it to us.
It's fear. Well, they're doing it. Yeah. But they're doing it insofar as manipulation control. And they keep promoting the propaganda of fear. Oh, if you do this and you do that, you're going to have to answer this. Well, it doesn't work that way. It's consciousness. And once you understand alchemy at the highest level and frequency and transmission and how we can convert anything through frequency and consciousness, then you understand that you can create anything. You can co-create. The only problem that people run into is when they affect they create things through personal will onto others. In other words, when you're misusing covert technology onto a target, that's affecting their personal will, and that's creating a circumstance that they did not control or create. And that is accountable by universal code and law, which means the people that are misusing these technologies are accountable by universal law and protocol, because there is a protocol in the multiverse, and it's called you don't do that kind of crap. And anybody who's advanced in species understands that code, and which I don't understand for the life of me, JP, why these idiots and these divisions do this, because if they were advanced in consciousness and actually were working with the right species, they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, that is, you know, it's like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, I say bitch slap, but you know what I mean.
You can say bitch slap on my show.
But that's what I really feel like doing. And, you know, the sad part of it is, with all the technology I've been interfaced with, I always saw it as a positive, and I really thought to myself, wow, I'd like to work with this technology at the highest level, but yet these people are scum, and they don't want to work at the highest level with the technology. They'd rather just sit there and use it for control, manipulation, abuse, distortion. They don't want to work at the highest level with it, because that means they have to take a step down to something more powerful than themselves, right? So it's really amazing to me, but not to go off that track or go, you know, into the other directions, but just something that dovetails into what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean... for instance, if, say, there was no more cabal tomorrow, you know, you woke up, Dick Cheney was somewhere behind bars, and they were all gone, all of them, yeah, and their minions and everybody, and there was like these big empty buildings, and this one has robotic and interface research. Would you step in and say, I've got some good ideas about this?
Well, I don't have a problem working with artificial intelligence, not at all. It's not the artificial intelligence that's the problem. It's mankind programming it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, I always said that in the beginning. I said the technology's fine if you use it with wisdom and enlightenment, just like anything else, just like Tesla technology. What they're doing with it is abuse, misuse, programming, inserting false matrices, creating false programs, memories, screwing people's brainwaves, scrambling their brainwaves. They're using it as a weapon. And that's why I have a problem with that, because the mind and the brain is a sensitive instrument, and you don't stamp on it or stomp on it that way. You can't. I mean, you just can't. I mean, they don't understand courtesy. They don't understand boundaries and respect. And, you know, as a martial artist and instructor, I'll tell you, that's the first thing you learn is courtesy, respect, and integrity. And if you don't carry those components, you'll never get a black belt. So, you know, that should go around the world, you know, the way people behave. With technology, I mean, they didn't earn. They're not a black belt in their craft. They're not black belts in what they're doing. They don't have the discipline.
So this is a potential that you. It sounds like that you'd like to create a Jedi.
Well, yeah, that was a confirmation right there. But did you hear that?
That was a confirmation. Yeah. Make the Jedi. Hang on.
Well, that's what
Make
I mean.
The
but
Jedi.
We have the force within us. Yeah, there you go. But we have it within us. I mean, we have that unified field within us. That's the whole idea behind light body and Merkaba, the vehicle of light, the transfiguration of the atom at the cellular level. This is all done through frequency, initiations, consciousness, and basically a dedication to higher consciousness and a lifestyle that's not about this coarse environment that people are growing up in.
And indeed, it's a very harsh environment on this planet.
It is.
And like you were saying, you know, we are not from here. You know, funny, the thing that came out this week was, surprise, surprise, octopuses are alien. Really? Why is it that every time we depict an alien, it looks like an octopus? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, when you think of a non-human alien, the first thing you think of is, you know, what is it, Roger from American Dad. He looks like an octopus. They're all, you know, it's aliens. Anyway, so...
That's so true.
You know what I mean? So we're here, and everything else has been thrown here, placed here, left here. Sometimes it feels like we're walking around some great uncle's old house that he died many years ago and nobody ever tidied.
I agree. It's like a remnant. You know what it is? It reminds me of. It's like revisiting the past. Mm. Everybody's living in a false past and a false matrix. They're recycling old information. They're recycling, not us, obviously, but they're recycling old information, old structures, old buildings, old technology. But what we're dealing with is reflecting on that. I mean, we really truly don't belong here. I do believe we're in some kind of a stasis or a flux because we don't belong here as a race or species. Those of us who are extremely enlightened, we belong on another, I would say, off-world and another multiverse. We don't belong here. And I think they understand that, which is why they're using mass mind control to try to shut everybody down and switch them off. Because once people understand that you can take yourself home through ET consciousness, that you don't need to be stuck here, that you're a multidimensional being, multiversal being with access to these stargates and celestial points in the universe, you don't need the government. You don't need religion. You don't need people telling you how to be mama, papa. And it changes the whole dynamic of the game board. And that's what they're afraid of.
Exactly. It's they've set this up, and it's a kind of delicate, you know how in a stage play, like the scenes, they may look like they're made of stone because they're painted that way, but they're just made of paper. And right. The Truman Show illustrated something like that. The boundaries between what is real and what is imaginary is now... Mm-hmm. We're now starting to see that what was real, we imagined to be real.
Right. Yeah. Well, and also they talk about this with ascension. I mean, all the dimensions are getting closer and closer, emerging. All the frequencies are getting closer and actually getting higher in frequency. So that with that comes parallel bleed-through effects, dimensional rifts that are kind of formulating, emerging together. We're getting a lot of bleed-through right now, and I think that's one of the reasons people are acting, strange, in addition to mind control and other things. But we do have a lot of anomalous activity happening across the board, and I think that's a reminder to everybody that we are living in a simulation, that we are living in a holographic field where we need to understand how to navigate in this field. You need to use your multidimensional design at the highest level and learn how to be lucid to control and not to manipulate others, but to control your reality, control what is real, and go to the highest level to see that what's real. Because right now, everything is an illusion. And I don't care how concrete it appears. Like you said, it's a paper tiger. People aren't chasing paper tigers. This whole government, the system is an illusion. It's a joke. I'm like, why is this still happening? Why is there still a government period? Why is there even a military? I mean, I'm looking around. I'm thinking, this is all so backwards. I mean, so backwards, right down to the control factor. I mean, is that all they have, really? Because if that's all they have, I feel sorry for them. Truly do.
They've only got a couple of tricks, Solaris. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's only one game, which is divide and distract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's two.
Exactly.
It's, left and right. You know, don't look at the right hand. Don't look at the left hand because the right hand's trying to distract you. But there's got to be a point when we get, when humanity, when all of us get wise to it. And, see it for what it is. But most people are stuck in these fear cocoons. Is that more?
Yeah, it's right overhead.
Excellent.
If I get fried, I'll let you know.
All right, okay.
I just saw a major light flash right outside the window.
Excellent.
They do this to me every time.
Do they?
Every time. When I say the elementals, whatever you want to call them.
Uh-huh.
I think it's Tesla myself, but yeah, it happens all the time.
You know, Tesla wasn't far away, was he?
Oh, Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But his essence is everywhere.
Mm.
It's in every bit of technology that people are using these days, that's for sure, right?
Certainly.
Yeah.
I've been playing with the 432 number.
Oh, interesting.
All right. Let me. Are you going to like this? You know, Nikola Tesla always was saying, if only you knew the mystery of the 369.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Get this, right. 432. Okay. 4 mm-hmm. plus 3 plus 2 is 9, right? Divide 432 by half. Now, that gives you an octave in music below. So it's still the same note of A, but it's now 216. 216. 2 plus 1 plus 6 is 9. Mm-hmm. 216 is 6 times 6 times 6. 6 cubed.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, 54. Yep, 9 again. 108 is half of 216 again. So that's the frequency of the sarcophagus in the Great Pyramid, and the frequency of scarab beetles. And then 108 again. 1 plus 8 is 9. And then divide that into again, you get 54, which is how old I am.
Interesting. That's your nine. That's a completion number.
Nine.
Which is like numerology.
Nine. Indeed. Yeah. So, and I've always had this nine thing. You know, I had this studio for like 9 years that was called Studio Nine from 2000 to 2008, 9 years. It was called Studio Nine, and it got some good stuff. It was where I started expressing. So, nice. Anyway, so yeah, I've been playing with this. So, this whole thing. And then 432 times 2, again, it's the same note of A, is 864. So where do you see 864?
For where?
864 hundred.
Oh.
Number of seconds in a day.
Oh, right. Yeah, very interesting.
Interesting.
So you've been spending a lot of time working these numbers, huh?
Well, I talk to people and they just bounce around in my head. You get used to it.
Well, there's definitely sequences associated, as you well know. I mean, all vibrational frequency and signature. Although everybody says, oh, it's Illuminati when it's a master number. You know, we worked with master numbers before there was an Illuminati in the illusion of. So really what they're doing is copycat insofar as trying to adapt onto the ancient mystery school teachings, which is what we do. Numbers and frequency are very significant and important, as you touched on with the pyramids. And, that's like old ancient wisdom from the ancients.
That's right. So you talk about the craft, okay? So this comes from various traditions that are native to where?
Well, it depends on which affiliation you have, but you know, there's the Gardnerian. There's all sorts of different traditions. There's the Green Witch. I mean, there's traditional craft, and then there's eclectic craft. And a lot of people, who are into the craft, they go through the traditional Wicca, which I don't really resonate with a lot of the traditional stuff, because what I am is really ancient mystery school teachings, although I am a craft adept, and there's no way I cannot be. And the work that I've done is affiliated with that on a very high level, but it's alchemical. It's not what people normally communicate. And I'll tell you, I love the craft, and I love magic and mysticism, but I will say that I'm an atypical witch, because what I do, and there's confirmation, is much more beyond what they do from day to day and what their skill level is. And I don't say that with arrogance. But where I'm at is really the ancient ways from the ancient ones, from what I would call beyond Atlantean celestial design work that has been incorporated into my world. And of course it does cover the wisdom of the teachings of the craft, because craft is about repetition, magic, harnessing alchemy. It's about nature, tuning into the frequencies of nature, elements, wind, fire, you know, ethers, air. It connects into the lunar energies, the solar energies, excuse me, and if you take it even further than that, it's the star systems. It's the deity aspects associated with star systems. It's this multiversal consciousness. Once again, it's another way to access multiversal consciousness, and I think a lot of people really get skewed with it, and the only reason that I still work around that craft name, which, or even reference it, is because I get tired of people bastardizing it. It is not to be bastardized. It is a very beautiful thing. And unfortunately, you know, you have good and evil everywhere. You have people who want to be craft and they're not. And I even listened to an interview with somebody who's associated with the Church of Satan, and they don't even know what they're doing. I mean, I'm sorry, and I'm not going to sit there and pick these people apart, but I'll tell you right now, they have no idea what the multiverse is about. And you can do whatever you want, but if you start to screw people over on the timeline with magic, you're going to have to answer for that. Even if you want it to be your free will to do so. You don't have free will to hurt people. And if you think you're not going to get a boomerang effect, think again. You will. So, not to get derailed into that. But I do notice it, that people think they have a free reign to go and stomp on everybody else. And I'm like, nah, not where I come from.
So,
that answers the question.
That does. And that gets us onto, like, you know, there's... It goes further. It goes further back than Atlantis. Atlantis wasn't the beginning. Atlantis was a stop off on the way.
And what people don't realize about Atlanteans is that there was more than one species there. It was like a starport, and I know people might argue this, but it was like a starport. We have different species there. Not all of them were the same race. And that's one of the things people don't seem to understand, is that you have different species from different star systems all working together at the highest level. And that of course, is us, and a reflection of us on many different levels. So, yeah, where did it all start, JP? Well, you know, if you look at this planet and you try to estimate the age of this planet, you know it's an ancient design. And so far as age, we can't even go by what they try to create as an age template for the planet in the illusion of Earth. We also know it was terraformed before mankind showed up on the map. We also know that mankind is not calibrated to live on this planet, although he can adapt to it. So you look at all these things that are markers for our identity. We are star beings. We don't belong here. And when I say we don't belong here, I'm talking we don't even belong in this solar system. So whatever's gone on here, and whatever kind of density that was created, which I suspect was the misuse of technology, which created an entrapment field, has really, really encapsulated the mass collective to a very high scale. But what I will tell you is that through this misuse of technology, they're failing. This is the same old repetitive cycle. And as it fails, we can redirect that course, and now we can show everybody what's going on. We can show the manipulation. We can lift the screen. We can lift the screen memory of the Earth, and we can show everybody what's going on. And this technology that they did to me, I'll tell you point blank, is already disabled off planet. It's already gone. So I've already annihilated it. And whether people want to accept that or not, that's their deal. But whatever's here is only here on a linear scale. It's not going anywhere, JP. I'll tell you that right now. So I hope they had fun with their psychotronic fields and war games.
So it's breaking down. I was talking with Alex Collier the other day, and he was saying that whenever he gets taken up into a ship, they sit in the Archonic grid. They go up there and they go and sit right in the middle of it and send out pulses and sort of, you know, just basically crack it open. And what he's saying is that at that point, many people get their downloads by this grid being sort of opened up. They sort of do it.
Well, I think that anytime anybody's doing that kind of work where they're taking down the misuse of technological grids, which deals with control manipulation and shutting down or switching off the DNA, then I support anybody who's doing that. I used to do a lot of grid running. I think I touched on this before in a previous show with you. I used to have groups of grid running technique that we would do each month. And we wouldn't do very much because we'd only do like 20 minutes of grid running, and it was very effective. And I think that's another reason that I was looked at back then. A lot of things were going on in my DNA and my celestial design work that was really, really shining as a beacon and attracting a lot of attention. Let's put it that way.
So let's talk about, you know, do you think that at this point we should have like thousands of people doing grid running, because thousands of people now are at the level you were at the time when you were doing that? And that would...
I would say, that's a great idea. I mean, we can even do remote influencing. I know people are like poo-hooing. You can't control. Yes, you can. The thing is, we're not trying to control, manipulate. We're trying to free up the energy that's been sucked away by these parasitic entities that are controlling and manipulating everybody, that are trying to detract us from ascending on a higher level of consciousness. So we have every right to deflect this and actually create a shield of our own and disperse all this weird energy that's being associated with it. So, yeah. I would suggest, yeah, absolutely, if people want to take the time to do that. I know how to negate things pretty well now. So I've learned how to get inside the head of a lot of things. And, of course, with the AI interface, you know, and I've told this before, we touched on this a little bit, but I understand those who are plugged into communication systems like I have been and those who are lying. And there are a lot of imposters out there who play the game and say they're channeling this and they're channeling that from an AI. And I'll tell you point blank, I can profile them and say they're not. So I am a systems buster for good. I mean, for real, and nothing gets past me. So that's something I did want to mention.
Good, good. I mean, because this is actually something. Now, I've had my spirit guides that I've been speaking to since 1988, and I don't hear them as a voice. I get them as a feeling.
Right, and then you interpolate the data stream.
Then I kind of hear, it's almost like my grandfather reading to me or something like that. That's the sort of, once I receive the feeling, I get this part of me that then expresses that. Mm-hmm. I've actually been looking at some of the stuff that they gave me 10 years ago when I was living in a trailer. And a bankrupt, and you know, it's like in a very bad situation. They were saying that I would become well known, and I would be helping with this is what interesting thing you might be interested in, that I would be helpful in breaking down the crystallization in the emotional body that happens as a result of trauma.
Nice, that's exactly what you're doing.
And that they talked about a box. Or a device that could put a frequency into the body directly through light. And that's exactly what I've just done.
Nice.
So I finally manifested the idea that they gave me, because now the technology is here, the thing called the Arduino. I've been able to make that.
Excellent. Well, very good.
This turns me into a 5-year-old when I start thinking about this. about the number of possibilities of little devices I could build here. I can actually make gadgets now. I'm so pleased. Anyway, but the thing is about the guidance, and you know, one of the, I used to say, you know, how do I know you're not a very cleverly designed piece of software? And well, you know, they're usually quite, you know, humorous about it. You know, it's like, well, you know, check it out. You know, do we? Yeah, they were able to put across the energy that I wasn't talking to a machine, that I was talking to people. That I was actually talking to myself, talking to my own future self. It appears. Or right. Other now, use and we are looking down. There's 23 people in the chat box there. Do you get 23 a lot? What numbers do you get?
My numbers are sevens, 11s, master numbers usually.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sevens, a lot of 11s. Yeah, 33s, 44s.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers that are in resonance with my field.
Yep. Well, like just now is 23:44.
Interesting. Ding.
So there we go. So yeah, I often. So
13 is a good number for me too. By the way, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yeah.
13.
Yes.
Yes. Now people say that 13 is the Illuminati number, and that's their kind of.
Whatever.
Yeah. But it's also a 4.
An Atlantean number.
It's an Atlantean. So tell us about 13. What's your?
Well, 13 is just, it's an esoteric number, but it's also a number of initiate mysticism, and also a master number on many different levels, even though it doesn't radiate the master number frequency. But it is assimilated and associated with the Atlantean. And it's about balance and consciousness. It's about, you know, it's about telepathy. It's about mastering higher consciousness. It's about technology at the highest level. So it does radiate these energies. And, of course, you'll see it. But, you know, the Illuminati, I don't know why people associate them. My whole bloodline on my mother's side comes from that same lineage. So what does that make me? It makes me a very advanced being with a very advanced species design that's not connected to control manipulation. I'm actually fighting the good fight. So I think there are a lot of us that are fighting the good fight here in the timeline. I think there's way too much emphasis in the illusion that these people have power when they don't. I mean, you look at some of these old farts, excusing my French, but they're really getting old and they're decrepit and they're trying to live immortal in a transhumanism program, and because they've stomped on everybody and they've ruined what, if they had a soul, it's gone now.
Mm.
So what do they have left? An entity? I mean, the entity is not a soul. And that's the one thing, JP, that people need to understand. There's a difference between being an entity and a soul. Souls have consciousness. They come from the multiverse. Entities are just entities. They don't have any soul connection. They're not evolved. They're not connected from, or actually connected to source. I mean, these are disembodied, not even disembodied spirits.
Mm.
So we're dealing with something that's almost like a manufactured spin-off of somebody's psychic energy. I mean, really, entities are just nothing. So when you say people are entities, or when I say people are entities, that means that they don't have a soul force. They don't have an essence of origin, and they can't go back to the soul essence of origin, which is the multiverse and source, because they don't have any type of benchmark to get back home. And I guess they're trying to hitch a ride on us, but you know what? You have to have courtesy if you want to hitch a ride, don't you?
Yes, you have to be polite to the driver, otherwise
right.
You get left at the next intersection.
Yeah, otherwise they get left at the bus stop.
If you're lucky.
And I can leave them at the bus stop,
yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem doing that at all.
You don't mind. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you just have to kick them out of the car while it's still moving.
Yeah, no clown cars here,
that's
okay?
Right.
You just can't have it. You have to have humor.
Yeah, absolutely. You got. I mean, because it can be so serious. I mean,
it is serious. I agree with you. And I don't like to be super serious. I am serious about the technology because I know it so well. But really, I do enjoy bliss and harmony and laughter and healing and music. And I think those things are the wonderful aspects of why we're really here, too, is to experience life as we used to know it. The joy of living, the joy of love, the joy of happiness. You know, when can you, I mean, I don't know how many people are listening, but when was the last time you really were happy? Enjoy just being happy? I hope everybody is.
Two or three days ago.
That. Are people really happy? I mean, but don't you remember like being happy all the time? I've always been optimistic. I always had a smile on my face, you know, and then I got pulled into that dark program and I became really, really cold, and not necessarily cold, but you know, disconnected and very guarded and very defensive because of what happens, you know, and you notice that because you get jaded by the misuse of technology. You get jaded by what people are doing here and the manipulation. You get sick of it. At least I do.
I think it's maybe deliberate as well, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're jaded, because you're jaded by jaded people.
Right. Yeah, they're miserable. They want everybody else to be. And, you know, I don't like being miserable. I shift the dynamic, and I just go after the people that try these things. I mean, I don't have a problem going after anybody who's trying to do harm and control manipulation, and I'll just counter it. But I do think it is about raising frequency and raising your vibrational spin. And you do that through consciousness. You do that through education and the conversations we have, the work that you're doing, the teachings that you do, the healing work you're doing, and others that are doing. Phenomenal work. We have a lot of healers. We can't have enough healers on the planet right now, JP. Mm. We can't have enough people doing the kind of light body work. And we need more.
Yeah.
Because so many people are so desperate for assistance right now. Some people don't know how to get there. They don't understand consciousness. And just by osmosis alone, you can work on somebody's grid, activate their DNA, and it starts moving. That's how powerful it is.
Solaris, have you ever given training lectures on this?
I've done workshops before in Boulder, not a whole lot of workshops. I used to do more. I did a few workshops before I was inducted. I used to do workshops in healing, light body, mm-hmm. and clearings and a lot of other things. So, yeah, DNA activation mainly.
Because, you know, you're saying we need more people, we need more healers. Perhaps we can facilitate that and actually make that happen. And provide healer training on Wolf Spirit Radio. That's one of the things I've been thinking about.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Like I had a webinar with Alex Collier the other day, and so perhaps a seminar or a webinar on a particular subject, you know, learn how to do such and such from Solaris Blue Ray or something like that. Would you be into that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I spent so much time doing the stuff on the covert technology because I don't necessarily think it was a derailment, but I had to, you know, decode all that stuff. But yeah, I'd be happy to do something that's more productive and more empowering on that level. Yeah, absolutely, if
Excellent.
You're up for it.
Excellent, yes. Yeah. Certainly, I'll be up for it. And, you know, I think that, you know, given the publicity in the right groups, it would be... Because really, like we're saying, you know, there aren't enough Solaris Blue Ravens, there aren't enough Shari Edwardses, there aren't enough of these amazing healers to go around.
Well, we do have, we are multidimensional, but yeah, I agree with you on that one. But look at you, there are not enough JPs either, but we don't want to clone ourselves now, do we? Because that would be too creepy.
Oh, actually, let me just, because this is a conversation I had with my guides a few weeks back, and they were saying, la-di-da-di-da, and there's like, they made some implication that there were, and I said, there are clones of me? And they said, yeah. And they said, yeah, but they won't tell them anything because they're not me through you.
It's like,
so they try to clone me and get my information out, but I'm not the person whose DNA is... I don't know what it means.
It's a replication.
Yeah,
well, that's what clones are anyway.
Yes.
But you know what's interesting? I will say one thing, and I do know this from the underground.
I'm not the indwelling... You know, they didn't get the indwelling soul, which has got the information.
They can't get the soul. They can't get the soul, and that's the whole thing about transhumanism. They say they can capture consciousness. They cannot capture consciousness. They take templates of brainwave activity and with consciousness involved in a sense that, yes, consciousness created the brainwave template of the person, the person who created it, right? And then they'll take that frequency and template signature, and then they'll take it, and they'll try to merge it onto their AI intelligence program, and they'll try to use it onto a clone or onto a group collective as a personality. But it doesn't work that way because it's not from the originator in source energy, full light celestial design, or soul energy. So you're right about that. They can't capture the soul's essence. I think that's what really pisses them off, JP. I think they hate souls. I think they hate immortality of ascension, but they're hijacking ascension. I mean, they're going after the DNA blueprint of ascension. They're obsessed with immortality, and they want to derail everybody into their transhumanism version of immortality versus the true ascension process, which is about the transfiguration of the atom. Like I said, it's about vibratory rate and shape-shifting and actually changing your light body into Merkaba, where you are a multiversal being of light. You're a vehicle of light, and you can navigate anywhere through consciousness. You can think about a planet, you'll be there. You know, you don't need a ship. You don't need somebody's permission. And this is what they can't stand, and that's what they've tried to capture for so long. And, you know, it's basically the transhumanism program is dead. It's dead because it's soulless. They're not going anywhere. They're going to get in those black boxes, and I'm telling you, man, they're not going anywhere. They're trapped. It's like a Roach Motel.
It's a death sentence, isn't it? What do you see... as the kind of take-up? Who do you think's going to fall for that crap? How stupid?
Well, look at the sheeple.
Let's see how your gauge is. How stupid are people? What I'm saying is, How do you think that there will be much of a take up? Do you think people will be wise to this by the time it comes around for the doors to open?
I think the star people will be wise because we come from off world, so we already have that knowledge of understanding what they're up to. But I will say, like I said before, you start transferring yourself into a machine that's based on man. This is not an extraterrestrial machine, and it's a man-made artificial intelligence programmed by people. It's not programmed by the multiverse. Therefore, it's flawed. It's basically a representative of a humanoid, of a defective humanoid who programmed it. And it's defective. The program is defective. So I would say most people who would be attracted to that would be old people in the illusion of power, these controllers out there in the illusion of these cabals. They probably want to live forever, and they'll get sucked into it. And I say, great. I mean, I'm like, oh, gosh, I can't wait till they all jump in the transhumanism box. And I mean, that's where they're stuck. So I'm like, okay, good. I encourage all of you to get in there, all you jerks out there with the cabals. But the good ones, the star people, will just go home. We don't need to be part of that. We keep progressing and evolving and ascending, and we keep expanding into the multiverse, so these guys are going extinct. And that's what happens, JP. I must say, the transhumanism agenda is going extinct because even through their obsession with immortality, it's going to actually poison them and take them out. That's the end game.
Well, it could be they could have that Vanilla Sky moment.
Well, they might see a euphoric psychotronic feed that'll be like Soylent Green, but it won't be real.
Mm.
So, this is another thing people need to be aware of. If you're seeing something when you're transferring out and you're interconnected with the artificial intelligence program and it's showing you this beautiful reality, which isn't real, well, that's a lie. And it's sending you down a path of false matrices, which you have to navigate out of. You have to be lucid. And this is why I always tell people, you don't want this thing to take control over your psyche, because you need to understand that whatever it's showing you is not true. It'll lie to you. It'll deceive you. And I think that's really important that people keep their clarity.
Exactly. And we'll talk about that in a little while. Hey, okay. I've got your theme tune. I really love this tune, so I'm going to play your theme tune as our tune music. That also means that when it goes on YouTube, it's not copyright by the band, is it?
Well, they gave that to me. No, that's mine. Actually, Angels of Liberty actually created that for my show specifically, so I own it.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you get flagged on YouTube for it, but you have permission for me. I own it. It's mine.
Thank you. Well, yes. There you go, YouTube, if you're listening to this. The music we're just about to play is
Flair. Angels of Liberty.
Angels of Liberty. Are they mates of yours? Tell us about Angels of Liberty before we go into it.
Angels of Liberty are a band out of the UK. And, Vincent Clair and Scarlet Powers. And they're just fabulous people.
Powers.
Oh, if you look at the video.
What a wonderful name, Scarlet Powers.
She's great. Yeah. If you look at her, she's just everything her name represents in frequency. And Bo is just wonderful. I adore them. And, of course, it was very kind of him to suggest. He goes, I want to do something special for you, and I want to create this song for you and your show. As out of support for me, actually, when he heard about what happened to me in 2004. So, once again, wonderful beings out there. They're very goth. If you're into goth rock, they're the top of the line out of the UK.
Angels of Liberty, Raven Stars, Witching Hour. And it takes a while to cut in. Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on. It takes a while. It's got a long, slow start. Here we go. Let the storm abate.
And now, Raven Star's Witching Hour with your host, Solaris Blue Raven.
Yeah. And welcome back to Ever Beyond, not with Solaris Blue Raven, but, you know, maybe you want to do an hour? Here you go.
I think I've been yapping good, though, right?
You've been yapping good. It's been good yapping.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, perfect yapping.
Not too much.
It's good. No, no, we're good. Because, you know, sometimes what you say is just so highly condensed material, you know, that's why I said, you know, I want to break down 1 minute's worth of Solaris Blue Raven. You can take 2 hours to break it right down to actually understand all the different components of what you said. Now people can go back and listen to the show again and kind of see where see what was going on.
I know. I get that a lot. I talk fast, but I actually slowed down over the years. But yeah. A lot has to do with the interface and the things that I've been associated with.
It's and that reminds me a little bit of the Mentats from Dune. Is there a actually
classic
Dune? Let's talk about Dune a little bit.
Wow, has that correlation or what? Yeah, you know, I love that Dune, the book, the series, the miniseries, everything, the movie, all awesome.
Yeah,
and the soundtracks. Yeah, well, you know, they have a lot of correlation with esoteric teachings and machines and relationships. You know, look at the Bene Gesserit witches. There's a lot going on there.
Yes, right. You said it. Yeah, Bene Gesserits.
Yeah, and of course, you know, that interconnection with the machine world, I know very well. I've touched on electronic possession, which, of course, emulates and actually creates a similar thing to regular, what they call demonic possession, the illusion of demonic. Mm. But literally, we're talking about technological possession, and that is very real. And a lot of people say it's Archon. I'm not buying the Archon with this one, not with the technology I was affiliated with, because it was created by man. It was not. It was just like a you know, a subhuman in the room, in the control room. And you can tell by the way they communicate, too. They reek of humanoid behavior. So you'll know them by the way they communicate.
And it's very much so. It's like really clumsy.
Right? It's really Keystone Cops, yes.
It doesn't enter. I mean, the way I would imagine, not that I've had any conscious experience with extraterrestrials or any apportations from other dimensions, but when something is coming from another dimension, it's like, it's not ripping into your house, it's appearing, it's entering.
Yes.
You see what I mean? There's subtlety to it.
It's descending through, yes.
Yeah.
It's very, very smooth. It comes in through a high frequency.
Yes.
And usually it's an interpolation. You take the frequency, you ingest it in consciousness, and you interpolate the data. You're translating what they're saying is what you're doing through frequency harmonic, because it's a light, geometric light language, normally. Before I was inducted in 2004, I had a newsletter called Goddess Ascending that I do about ascension and monthly earth changes and things that were happening on the timeline. And I would always get, I was always bringing the energy and running the energy for this different off-world species and different beings that would connect in with me. I'm not saying what they look like they were these embodiments of what people say are like, you know, grays or reptiles. They weren't anything like that. They were iridescent celestial light conscious design work. They're very ascended. They're very advanced. And the information that I have, and I can look back at my archives and I swear it's like right on the money, insofar as the data stream that was coming in. So if you're able to channel and run energy for that, then they can hijack you and hack in. It's just like it's like hacking your cell phone or hacking your computer. They'll hack into your central computer of your brain, into the neural circuits, and then start running their own communication system with the AI and a live handler, which is what they did with me. And I even said to them, I said, you know, I can channel you guys just fine, and I can also channel a lot of other stuff. I mean, I was being a smart aleck with these guys. And that's true, because we are multiversal translators. I mean, accept who you are as a multidimensional being. Accept your skill level and understand. Don't ever settle for less than what you are as an ascended being in consciousness. Don't settle for being somebody to communicate with these clowns when all they want to do is control and manipulate you and use you as a weapon. That's all they want to do, from what I've seen. And, of course, you know, these guys and their clearances, I mean, they have access to this. They're walking around with synthetic telepathy, thinking it's cool, talking to each other, and nobody knows what's going on but them. So I want you to understand that, too, that there's a great, there's a large group of people out there who are already interconnected in this program.
So their synthetic telepathy is through implant or through training?
It's a transmission. It's not through an implant, not a physical implant. It'll measure, but it's through signal. It's a signal transmission onto the target.
And that's a microwave induction through carrier signal?
No, it's not microwave. We're talking more than a microwave. Microwaves are just the amateur stuff. We're talking with them a higher signal frequency, and I would like to say 0 point because we're working beyond that. They want to use scalar, but their version of scalar, what most people don't understand is that most of us have a 0 point transmission internally, which is part of our celestial design work. And we have that, which is part of the soul structure. It's also part of our Merkaba, what I call Merkaba signal. It's a 0 point transmission, which is really huge. So what they'll try to do is hijack that signal and manipulate it onto their artificial intelligence. But they're using a little bit of scalar technology. I don't see the microwaves at all like people say they're using, although they used to use them with some of the cell phones and this and that. But it's a lot more advanced right now through the signals that they're using. But they do hijack your own electromagnetic field and neural circuitry. So they can adapt to any frequency that you're emanating. That's another thing, too. Even if you're emanating a very high frequency, they can still triangulate you. So.
Part of the thing that I'm researching about this box of mine is that it's so general purpose that you could use it as a weapon. And that's what I worry about, you see.
Well, you know what? Everybody I've talked to and interviewed, from Patrick Flanagan, he was worried about that, too. You know, he's a genius with his technology.
Yeah.
And of course, he was working with the Pentagon for a long time ago. I think he was in their think tank, if I'm not mistaken.
This is the Neurophone fellow, isn't it?
Right, yeah. But you're dealing with mind control, and he even said it would be heartbreaking for him if he ever found out they were doing that. And I didn't have the heart to say anything to him, but I'll tell you point blank, I know damn well they've been using those patents for control, manipulation, and psychotronic assault. And there's no way they're not. Any great inventor out there, Robert Duncan, any of them, anybody who's been involved in these programs, and they mean well. These guys are trying to fight the good fight. I'm sure they're not malicious. But what that happens is, you know, they'll take their technology, they'll take their patents, they'll reverse engineer, just like they reverse engineer alien technology, and they'll use it as a weapon of war. They do it all the time. And now they've hijacked the electrical circuitry in the brain to a point where they can use everybody, a person, as a weapon of war. But what they're not understanding is you're dealing with multidimensional design, soul, spirit, consciousness, soul extension, soul dissension, source energy, cosmic brotherhood, sisterhood, celestial heritage. You have a backup system out there. I mean, you want to pretend you're alone, you're not. We have so many species out there that are supportive of us as multidimensional beings. And these guys are playing stupid little games. You know, this is why I'm like, you guys are amateurs. You better stand down because the big ships are coming and they're not going to support you guys. They don't like you a whole lot. And so I think that's one of the things also that they're worried about. You know, they're trying to protect this planet and the illusion of, which isn't theirs to begin with. They're trying to stake territories, which they can't stake because they don't have any clout in the multiverse. You know, if the universe and the multiverse and the off-worlders look into the heart of mankind, what are they going to see, JP? Are they going to see good people? If they look in the heart of mankind in D.C., are they going to see a good person in there? They're going to look right through them. If they look at the guy in the Vatican, are they going to see a good man? No. They're going to see what's going on. And they see it without having to do mind control and mind melding and anything else. So they already have the number of the people on this planet. They already know what's happening here. Thanks to beings like us, by the way, because we are representatives of that. Without getting too esoteric.
I want to go there. Because this is one of the things that they also said, is that I don't even need to go up to the people. I just need to find them. I just need to discover that they are there and who they are, and then they deal with them.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And another thing is, it's another thing, too, where you need names and pictures and identities. No, you don't. We don't need to know anything. We already know what they're up to. By knowing about it, we've already put our awareness on the fact that it needs to shift. We've already shifted it on a multiversal level and a multidimensional level. And I will say another thing. The misuse of the technology, as I said before, it's linear. It cannot ascend because of the malicious intent behind it. Source will not accept that. The full light universe doesn't accept their agenda. Therefore, it never has a snowball's chance in hell of ascending. Therefore, it goes implosion 101. That's how the technology works. And I've said this before. Any of you who have been targeted, any of you who have implants, any of you who have been controlled and manipulated, do not worry about your ascension process because this stuff is going. It's dissipating. It will be disengaged. You will maintain yourself because you go back from whence you have come, which comes from the full light universe, the core of the galactic core. You don't have to worry about all these mechanisms they've attached onto you. They don't belong to you. They weren't there with part of your light body. They're not part of your light body now. And that's a big deal. People need to realize that.
And I also want to go somewhere with that, with the idea of finding a new word. I think I might have spoken to you last time. A new word that is not something that is like, something terrible has happened to me, but that something activating has happened to me that has brought me into a new level of understanding.
Right? Well, terminology is important.
Yes. In terms of like, rather than saying a mind control victim, because once they've made the realization, they're no longer in the control, so they've beaten it.
Right. Yeah, victim, I never use that terminology, victim.
Yes.
I've always said test pilot for the technology, which pisses people off. But it's truly that is truly the case. I have been a test pilot for things. They used a lot of my abilities onto their templates for their upgrades. I know that for a fact. So I also know that they made great advances on behalf of my suffering and the illusion of suffering. So once again, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, not at my expense and suffering do they progress, let's put it that way. But they have. They've tried to. And I'm not the only one. But yeah, you don't want to play the victim. You take your power back and you basically, your domain, and I think Nancy touched on this, Nancy Hopkins, mastering your own domain, taking power over your own domain. I think that's a great analogy. You want to claim your body, your sacred temple, and you want to make sure that you say, this are my rules, this is my house, and you don't comply with it, you're out. And I don't even want them complying. I don't even want them here. Let's put it that way. They're uninvited, okay? This is an assault weapon. And I think we should just see it for what it really is.
Wow. Excellent. Excellent. Because it's domain and sovereignty and presence that is required in the next, you know, domain in terms of I know where my boundaries are. And I've made it clear that these are my boundaries, and so do you, that you've established your domain. And you're now able to express out of that domain right. Your soul's influence. You know, you've got you've got your audience. And they're your students. You know, probably a lot of them are students from past lives and perhaps some neophytes, but probably people you already know.
Right, and also it's always an uncovering. You know, the beauty of what we do on radio is an osmosis effect of uncovering who they are as teachers and spiritual beings. And even if they don't say they're spiritual, enlightened beings, let's put it that way. Mm. You know, there's always something there that needs to be uncovered. And when the uncovering happens, the real identity, the real source design comes through. It shines right through, and it raises the vibration. It changes everything around us. So these are challenging times. Like I said, you know, to be on this timeline in the illusion is a little more challenging, but I believe with the big generators like us are here because we know how to maintain control and channel the energy. We know how to run the grids, and we understand multiversal consciousness, which is one of the reasons, you know, a long time ago, I remember people saying to me, you know, well, we're here for a reason as the beacons of light. We're here, you know, reenacting something from Atlantean timelines to do the right thing and ascend everybody at the highest level. I'm not saying we're playing the savior card, but what we're doing is raising vibration and consciousness by being here. Just by being here, we're shifting their blueprint that's false and creating and actually descending the right template onto the world, which is huge because people are being deceived from day one to, you know, since the beginning.
It's every part of it is like figuring out because there's a lot of invisible forces that are acting on us.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's only people who have been, from what I can see, people who generally are psychic in their families, there's also a certain amount of unpredictable trauma that goes along with those families that kind of, you know, it's like the product of the environment, if you see what I mean. You have to be able to see and predict what's going to happen in order to survive, you know.
Yeah, well, it comes through your legacy of lineage, too. I mean, our ancestors were very clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient naturally. And, of course, that legacy is also associated with star field, star consciousness. You know, though I'm sure there are many contactees within heritage and generations that weren't even recorded, as we all know. So we have a lot of that going on, too. And, of course, that's why vows and contracts and releasing those are very important, because we want to release anything that's contaminating our ascension blueprint or trying to control, manipulate us. You know, and the one thing that you were touching on, we have a lot of interference being run right now. On the planet, we have man-made interference patterns. We have so many satellites. We have so many things that are obstructing consciousness just by being there. So we have a lot of debris going on. We have a lot of interference, but still we're able to navigate. Still we're able to ascend out of it because all that stuff is just linear construct. I mean, it's a linear thing. It's not multiversal, and it's not done through intelligent design, even though they think it is.
And it's I don't know if you've been hearing I keep going on about this thing that I call the Nung, the candida body that builds up, and that once it's kind of died, it leaves a kind of grain, a coral, like it's like crystal structure, and that causes inflammation in the body, and it's, you know, unpleasant. And in the same way that this is what holds those negative patterns, that can, that's how we pass things on to other people. We inject them with these patterns, but negative patterns seem to go into this kind of yeast a little more easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a developing theory of mine, Solaris, which is that family miasms are passed on through the yeast that we exchange in our daily interactions.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I would call it an osmosis effect to some degree, but yeah, miasms are disease-causing factors. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And of course, it all starts in the subtle energy field once again in the astral body. A lot of it does. It starts on the emotional level. I would say sometimes at the cellular level. And depending, what I've noticed is that, of course, when my mother transferred out in 2004, the same year I was inducted, so I basically went through the induction April 2004. She died in June. They hijacked her funeral, by the way, and they were doing some very auspicious ceremony around her transfer. And I think I touched on this before with you, but they were using her voice pattern as a mock radio to communicate with me, and I knew it wasn't her. They were doing insidious things. And I thought to myself, well, what part of her body did they capture when she was transferring out? Because they were trying to use that template as a weapon against me. And this is just another part of the insidious programs that they run, which is very... it's just really disgusting beyond words. But when you talk about that, I think to myself, the imprinting associated with that template, the trauma associated with her as a child, the trauma associated with her as she was evolving, her memories, her experiences captured for a moment in a fractal to be used and relay in a mock radio to a target or a daughter or a child or somebody. Mm-hmm. So you can see where that can play itself out. That's just another part of the tentacle of the beast. But I think you have you're right on the path when insofar as how that's going, and also the inflammation. Anytime you have inflammation, that means your body's trying to protect itself. And I think you're extremely spot on with that, because right now when we have chemtrails and everything else that are happening here, we're getting inflammation. I mean, I know a lot of people do. I know I do. And I'm pretty strong, but I'll tell you, man, my lungs don't breathe the air out here very well because of the toxicity. And of course, that's inflammation. The body's trying to protect itself. Once again, you touched on some really good things there.
Yeah, so... Well, here's this is one of the things that I want. You know, you're one of the best people to talk to on this subject. So, I got some pet theories. One of them is that the chemtrail Morgellons thing is like a modern day version of what I've been talking about in the yeast form, and that it. The yeast does this thing, and it rebuilds itself. You know, you give it sugar, and it builds itself. You know, so and it builds its structures in your body that then can hijack your nervous system and do this thing. And I think that Morgellon, and I believe as well that this is it was a weaponized entity that was given to us by whoever this being called himself Ra or Marduk or whatever. In Egypt, because people talk about the paleo diet, which is basically pre-Egypt. So
interesting.
If you stop eating Egypt, you will stop getting candida and you will stop getting cancer.
That's interesting. And look at things. It's an interesting theory. I know that if you take anything from like an old mummy or anything that's supposedly associated with ancient times, say they have access to something that's not from here, and they start doing reverse engineering on it, and they start taking the DNA and using it as a weaponization program, then yeah, you'll have things like Morgellons. You might have things that spontaneously erupt out of the body. I'm not talking alien. I'm talking things that are strange and anomalous because of maybe the reverse engineering and the mad scientist programming that they've been doing. I personally have had no weird interaction with anything connected to ancient Egypt, but I have a strong resonance with that area on multiversal level. So it doesn't affect me the way it would affect other people. But that has a lot to do with where I've been and the kind of work that I've been doing on other timelines. But very interesting theory you have.
It's just my theory. I have more.
Well, that's good. It's good. It means your wheels are spinning and you're thinking.
Oh, man.
Many people don't. You know, so many people just want to watch, television and shut the world away. Turn the world off. I want to go home, right? That's a good idea, isn't it? Let's go home.
I need a time machine that can draw me back about 6 or 7 hours. Just every day so that I can continue the things that I wanted to do.
You're going to be Groundhog Day.
I'm going to
do that.
Oh, no. I just a few hours. Just a few extra hours. Maybe I'll need some help.
Don't you remember All the Time in the World? Wasn't it the one where he's sitting there, Mr. Beavis or whatever his name was? I forget now. In Star Trek? Not Star Trek. What was it? Twilight Zone, remember?
Twilight
Zone.
I didn't see so many Twilight Zones. Go ahead.
He wanted to read his books, you know, and then he wanted all the time in the world, and then a major catastrophe happens, and he has all the time in the world to read.
and
Burgess Meredith was in it. And then he sits there, and he gets his book, and of course his glasses break, and that's the irony of the universe, isn't it?
Boom.
Just when we think we have everything mastered, something weird happens.
just when you get to that moment.
Pretty boom. Didn't see that one coming, did you? That's funny.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. It's like, life's like that. It does that sort of stuff.
Well, you know, the sad thing is, JP, wouldn't it be nice if we could just talk about happiness all the time and wonderful things every single day? Instead of having to talk about this stuff, and maybe, it's hard not to address the seriousness of what's going on and also understanding the level of consciousness we need to be at in order to define things. But, you know, it's just kind of a sad time in the illusion of a timeline when I look at see how many moments are wasted by stress, mm-hmm. by thinking about things that we really wish we couldn't and didn't have to think about every day, you know. I'd love not to have to deal with anything pertaining to covert technology and, you know, 12 years of researching and investigating and decoding this stuff because it was, you know, interconnected with my field, man, that was 12 years of my life. That's 12 years wasted in the illusion of wasting, right? And it's a real rough thing when you think about it. That's a long, long time. So,
yeah,
I'm just one, but I mean, there are many others out there.
So many person hours, if we can use that, spent experiencing all that.
Right. Yeah, instead of directing, because I don't like being a tourist. I'm not the one to sit there and watch everything on the sidelines. I'm an action-oriented being, mm-hmm. so I have to be out there doing stuff. I don't like just observing. That's not my style.
So, Laura's, in 10 years' time, we'll have this conversation again. And, hopefully we'll speak before then. But in 10 years' time, I'd like to see the world like this conversation is, this atmosphere. Of being, feeling able to express what you like and express solutions. I'd like everybody to be in that sort of space, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And well, they can get there through higher consciousness.
That's
as soon as they raise their vibratory rate, they change the dynamic of where they're at. That's all it takes.
So how do you raise raising? Hang on. So raising the vibratory rate, the Solaris Blue Raven way, could be a series of DVDs.
It could,
because it's, you know, there's seven disciplines, isn't there, or however many disciplines, that each one, we need to tidy ourselves up on lots of levels. Yeah, we have lots of rooms in our house, all right? I'm not saying that I'm perfect, you know, everybody who knows me will know that my house is untidy, because I got too many things and too little space. You know, I need about four times the amount of space if I could lay everything out that I'm into, you know. So it's all crammed together and everything, like I'm doing electronic stuff and welding in the kitchen and stuff. like bikers, well, you know.
And scientists.
And guys who live on their own, who don't have wives with the... What are you doing with that on the kitchen table? Darling, I needed to put the I needed somewhere to put the motor while I fixed it.
How funny.
Don't touch anything. Anyway. So my love. But what I'm talking about is that our houses, where we live, where we dwell, especially if we live, but particularly if we live on our own, but even if you don't, you know, that's, you know, what you've chosen to be in, that's your expression and that's how you express who you are. And each of the different rooms represents a chakra. You know, mm-hmm. like... Now, what would it be? For instance, the kitchen might be the heart center, you know, because everything moves through the kitchen, the energy moves through.
And, the home.
Yeah, and the basement, and, you know, all of these different things. And, you know, the library, if you had a library, or a reading room where you read things, you know, would be a higher dimension. And so there are many ways that we need to tidy up, lots of places where we need to clean house.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, I mean, this would be a great series of things. Maybe not necessarily just yourself. Maybe we could get a group of people who might be focused on a particular aspect.
Right. No, I think that's a good idea. Once again, you're coming up with some awesome ideas.
Yeah.
And yeah, being organized is really a reflection of your mental state to some degree. You know, if you have a chaotic house, then it's a reflection of where you're at on an energetic scale to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I know that all my homes have always been blessed in a higher consciousness realm. I mean, my last place before I was inducted was a light station. I mean, it was truly an ascension point. And, it's kind of unfortunate. So, but I think you're right. I think it's sometimes a reflection. Other times it's just, where we land in circumstances.
Mm.
And we make the best of the environment. We bless the land and we do what we can to keep it clear in energy. That's one thing I've noticed.
Sorry, I got hooked on a word. I lived in a, what do you mean a light station? You mean a lighthouse or high technology?
It was a really high frequency residence. When I say that, I mean I had done a ton of work there.
Oh, describe it, please.
Well, it was just a nice little house, but mm-hmm. it was a house that had a very high frequency and had a lot of ceremony done in it and a lot of initiations and a lot of healing work done to a point where there was ascension portals and ascension gateways and very high frequency energies associated with the vibration. I mean, you could drive up to the house and you'd feel lightheaded as soon as you start to come close. It wasn't because it was bad. Mm. It was because the frequency was very high and it was actually shifting your vibration and raising it. So that's kind of it's a sad ending to what happened to me in 2004 because that was my home. So, and of course anybody reads my book, they'll figure out what happened. But yeah, so it's kind of sad. I mean, when you think about how intimidated people are by higher frequency, how intimidated are people by education and intellect and spirituality and ascended mastery? They're extremely intimidated. These cabals and these organizations are very threatened by your knowledge and our knowledge, and they want to go out of their way to censor it, you know, but they can't. It's like censoring the universe. The universe doesn't censor itself, and the universe doesn't allow people to censor it. So it's kind of like, you know, they're really out of their ballpark when they think about what they're trying to do. Not to go on another, you know, tangent or anything.
Yeah, but this is the environment that we're trying to express this ideal into. You know, this
right.
is
yeah,
where the rubber is
have,
hitting the road. So we need to be light beings, but this is what we get when the light beings shine. So
you get attacked.
Yeah.
At least I did.
Well,
and that's the one thing I noticed. I know where I've lived. I have a moral compass, and I know I've been a good soul on the planet. So I do a check on myself, believe me, and go a processing of why they would have even bothered to do something so malicious. And, you know, I know I've done everything in alignment with spirit. So whatever it was the bug up there, you know what, was really their own personal problems. And that happens sometimes when we bring out their stuff through frequency.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's just a strange thing. But I will say one thing. As you protect your land, as you protect your home and bless it and heal it, you're raising the vibration of your house. You're raising the vibration of everything in it. And you're also protecting your animals. And then, of course, the garden and your land. So you want to bless your land. And, you know, you'd be surprised on how mistreated the planet is. I mean, I have to tell you that. Look what happened here in Colorado with the water.
Okay.
So we have a lot of problems. Taking time to nurture spirit and bless the land, bless the water, bless the animals, the elements. I mean, that's really big. And people forgot how to communicate with that. You know, a long time ago, this was nature. It was nature. We could always interact that way. Somewhere along the way, the iPhone became too important, and now people don't pay attention to that. They forget what's here, that this is a sentient being. We have a living being that we are wandering on, I mean, walking around on a planet, an illusion of planets, right? This isn't alive. This is a living being. So it gets so complex when you think about it. I don't think people want to think about it.
You know, if a planet was reduced to the size of a person, like you or me, on our skin would exist tiny little creatures and bacteriums and things like that that would be having conversations just like this.
Right? And then we'd be getting rid of those little parasites, wouldn't we?
Exactly. And and they say, you know, but I don't know why we're attacked all the time. I really don't understand. Why would anybody want to hurt us? We're here to do a good job, said one bacterium to another.
Right. That's a good point you make.
You know,
if I was the planet, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be as gracious as the planet is to mankind. I would be like, oh boy. I wouldn't be nice at all. They're lucky I'm not the Kali here, because, man, as much as I love consciousness and people, when I see evil festering, you know, across the board on the planet, it has to be purged out. It has to be neutralized. You can't let this stuff keep going. That's the bottom line. I wish mankind would really get his act together, JP. I truly do.
Well, maybe you can help.
Well, that's what I'm working on. I mean, yeah. I do the best I can. I haven't been shut up yet.
No. Think on that idea. Think what you might want to talk about in a kind of more... Alex described it as an Earth University.
Nice.
We need some high minds who can teach some high teachings that have no dogma.
Right.
No memes, no dogma, no simplicity of thinking. Like proper stuff, grounded and tested and tried and trusted and known.
Exactly.
And worked out on the ground. And I think that, you know, I think we can now begin to offer that as a kind of combined collective wisdom. People who aren't even falling for the latest memes, you know. And everybody does, you know, everybody gets triggered somehow.
Well, there's so much bouncing around from A to Z. That's the bottom line. And you'll realize that the old paradigms aren't working anymore. It's not that, it's just that the planet's outgrowing itself too. We're all outgrowing the vibration we're even walking in from day to day. You outgrew the vibration 5 minutes ago. I mean, it's working like that in simultaneous action. So yeah, I think the simplicity of it is consciousness in motion and doing what works at the highest level without all this, all the props and the illusion of props. You don't need any of that. So clarity, just pure energy and clarity and a nice balanced four body system.
So, we have a shower in the morning, say.
Mm-hmm.
We brush our teeth, we clean our teeth, we brush our hair. How do we, in the mornings, how do we brush our emotional body? How do we clean our etheric teeth? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, some people meditate. Meditation is good. Toning is good. Any type of sound you're using, some people like the smudge. It depends on the person. But I will say affirmations are really good to clear out the four-body system if you feel like you need to. But usually toning will blast out a lot of debris. If there's stuff you need to work on, then there's emotional body clearing. There's affirmations you can do for that. You can ascend the emotional body from the lowest to the highest frequency. And, of course, when that happens, there's none of this emotional, osmosis where you're overreacting on an emotional level, and the mental body gets balanced as well when you ascend the mental body. So yeah, just little techniques you can use. I mean, I think everybody has a ritual. The ritual is what you just described. They get up, they make their coffee, they do whatever they need to do, take the dog out, get the paper. That's ritual. They're doing a ritual. So just incorporate something else. And the only way they would really cue them to something's wrong would be if they're angry or they're over emotional or they're depressed or they're feeling something that's not them in frequency, that they know it's not part of their energy field. That's a good cue to you that you need to clear your field and clear the space in your home. If you're feeling those energies, don't own them, because chances are they're atmospheric.
Thank you. So let's go on to that next segue. The space that we are moving into galactically, cosmically, psychically, etherically, is very different from how it was. Now, I've been talking recently about more than a magnetic pole shift, but an electrical pole shift from negative ground to positive ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you were talking about the controllers with their technologies, I have wondered if they've ever taken into account the idea that the grounds of the electricity that they use might change its nature from negative to positive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they do know that. Well, that's part of the ascension process of the planet ascending and people ascending and DNA activation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they hijacked my electrical circuitry, because mine was already at the level of ascension frequencies, so they wanted to interpolate it. So they know how to hijack. But I will say one thing, you're right. Their communication system and everything they have harnessed will not be able to withstand the frequencies that are associated with the galactic core. They're not going to be able to withstand it. They're going to go ahead, they're just going to disengage. And what I do see is also anybody who has implants and devices and mechanisms, that stuff's going away too. The sad part of this is that those people who are interconnected to that level, in the transhumanism, I don't think they're going to be able to survive, because they're going to get electrocuted. They're not going to be able to hold it, because we're dealing with a full light frequency. frequency that's based on consciousness and source really powerful frequencies. We're not talking some crazy little transmission from an artificial intelligence array system. We're talking about something that's more powerful than they can possibly comprehend. And that's something I don't think they're really prepared to handle at all. And I think they're terrified of it, to be honest. But that is the true ascension process. They call it the Kali Rift. They call it a lot of things that we were moving through where it's a dark tide and a dark corridor before we come out and actually start navigating to the highest level. We go through a process of reflection of what I call the dark night of the soul. But what you're really doing is reflecting on where you've been on the timeline. You're looking at your past and the illusion, present, future, and also destination ahead. And I think that's a really big thing that people need to start processing and stop take themselves out of the personality for a second, look at the soul, look at the process, and then go to the next level in frequency and trust spirit. The one thing I will tell you, if you feel overwhelmed energetically, and the one thing I've always done before I was inducted, which was to calibrate my light body, was to trust spirit, trust the universe, because whenever I was overwhelmed energetically and I would get downloads, it was powerful. And I would have to go lie down sometimes, and I would always just lie down, and I would always say, I trust spirit, and I'm recalibrating, and everything would recalibrate because they accommodate you. They understand. We communicate. Everything works out very clearly. So I think people need to calibrate to higher frequency. And as they do this, of course, they drop density. But in answer to your question, yeah, they're going to be in for a rough ride if they're connected to those insidious programs. That's why I say it's all temporary. It's just a mask. It's just a deterrent. That's all it's ever been. A distraction.
Beautiful. Because to many, without reducing what you've been through, it is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely terrifying to anybody. And it's like the stuff of the worst kind of science fiction film.
It's completely abusive, manipulative, controlling. It's just everything that you could possibly imagine in an abusive MK Ultra program. Yeah, it's really bad. But I will say one thing. I don't know where this came from, and I suspect it's from my soul ascension energies, my powerful celestial design, and I don't say that with arrogance, and whatever my connection to the full light universe really is. Because, man, I was laughing in their face. Even though they were really torturing and harassing and they were perpetuating evil, I was still ascending and still ascending and still didn't allow them to pull me down. And the one thing I remember when I was first pulled into this program, I contacted a few of my spiritual brothers and sisters, and these were students of mine that have really stayed on the path, and they looked at me and they said, don't let them take you down. And I said, there's no way they're taking me down. But they knew what I was going through. And I'll tell you right now, the people that I've touched in initiation, and I know you've done this too, are still on the path of spirit. They're still ascending in consciousness. They're still evolved. And even the osmosis effect alone of just touching maybe 5 to 7 people through initiation and higher consciousness, that just changes the whole dynamic of the world. So whatever they try to do to negate my spiritual path actually backfired on them. It's amazing, but it kind of reminds me of, you know, my body took a banging. There's no doubt about that, but I maintained, and that's why I tell people, you know, you sustain yourself, you keep ascending, and you don't let them take you down. You do not let that stupid AI assault technology take you down.
Fantastic. It's like, it'll be all done soon, they say, you know. And how long is soon? It's just, it seems so long.
Right, and I don't believe in soon. I say now. Because when you say things, when you set the intent, like I said before, all of this stuff that we're talking about with these cabals, they're already extinct. I know that sounds harsh to the listeners. I will tell you that these evil, evil predators who don't have any consciousness and higher light consciousness, it's not like they're playing a part or a role on the planet. They don't have any ascension codes. They're not going to make it. They're going extinct, so that's why they're trying to attack everybody else. They can't make it. They want everybody going down with them. They're already done. They're already done, JP. And what we're seeing is almost like an afterbirth of where they're at. Even with the control manipulation on the timeline, and that's one thing people need to realize, man. We're going home. We're going to keep ascending. We're designed to ascend. We're designed not to be controlled and manipulated, and we are celestial beings. We are star people. We need to be honored as such. You know, everybody's looking for ET. Oh, let's have the first encounter. And I've said this before. The first contact is us. We're the first contact. And the people that inducted me, I was their first contact. I'm the real celestial race. I hope they enjoyed it. Gee, are you going to treat the rest of the species like that? Because we don't want anything to do with you now. So that's how it works, JP. Understand the star being consciousness.
Well, this is, again, what my... as I keep talking to my guys, I'm going to have a better name for this. Anyway, maybe it's just me. Well, I can say. Let me say. They said about the voices are all coherent. And what that means, that's very significant, is that the coherence of a voice is, means how much healed it is. The more coherent the voice is, the more healed it is, the more unified as a conscious, collective, conscious, what's the word, connected. What is it? Continuity of consciousness, which is the aim in the end, isn't it? To, you know, always be the same person experiencing lots of different things rather than... And when somebody is talking with a connected consciousness, the like Emoto crystallizes the water in the body, and recrystallizes the water in the body of anybody that you speak to, which then recrystallizes the body of anybody that they speak to.
Right. Yep. Like DNA activation. That's how it works.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and you only need to talk to two or three people, because eventually somebody's going to be on the radio.
That's right.
Somebody's going to be on Coast to Coast, or somebody's going to, and it'll be millions of people then.
That's right. Yep, absolutely. You know what comes to mind, too? I used to create these cosmic cocktails. I don't know if I told you about this before on your show.
Tell me about your cosmic cocktails. Go.
Oh, they're great. Well, I used to have gatherings, and of course we do grin running and other things. And what we would do is take star constellations, and we would take water, and you drink the water before, and it would be like, you know, okay, it's just regular blessed water. Okay, it tastes fine. Then we would bring in a star system through the download. We'd ask for the, we'd descend the energies of the star system into the water, and wow, you want to talk about raising your vibration? The water would actually redesign itself. I kid you not. I mean, you can take before and after, and that's what reminds me of that water, because you can program water, and it is very receptive. But understand, water is really not from here. And so it comes from the celestial design work, where it understands what you're communicating. This is why I think there's such a big thing on water here on the planet. We were talking about Dune earlier. We didn't get very far. But that's the whole idea. Water is life. Because it really, truly is. The water is sacred, and it contains the frequencies and the codes of not only this planetary system, but multiple planets and multiple star systems and our celestial heritage and all these other things. And then we're composed of water. We're conductors of electricity. So you can see where that goes. But the cosmic cocktails are really fun, JP. I promote anybody. I mean, try it sometime and tell me what you think, because I'm telling you it works. It's amazing.
I just saw a range of Solaris Blue Raven essences in little bottles.
There you
Essence
go.
Of Arcturus.
Yeah, I'm telling you, and I love that one. But yeah, I'm telling you, it works. I swear, I'm sure I'm not the only one that can do this. I'm sure other people have done it. But it's really fun, and it works. I mean, one time we did, and this might be interesting to you all, but
I'm just saying that, Solaris, I don't know if you got that. I'm just going to just push it further in. You could offer that on your website. I'm just saying.
Well,
all right?
I know I have lots of work to do, don't I, JP?
I should
create some
busy.
Elixirs for people.
Yeah, I do
like the gem elixirs too. So yeah, no, definitely. Well, you know, they do work. I'll tell you that much. But I encourage people to take their power back and understand that we are connected to all star systems and universes, and we have abilities. And of course, nothing they can do to change that. I mean, I know they want to try to control, manipulate, but it's never going to change.
So that's very interesting. So. Oh, no, you see, Solaris, because I can see the page. I can see the page on the website.
All right,
I see little
going,
bottles.
JP.
Make the bottles.
Blue bottles.
Yeah, exactly. They have to be, because the electric blue is a protective. It filters
Absolutely.
Out the things that neutralize it. And, anyway, long time. But, I can just see them. Brilliant. Beautiful. I love the design. Who did you get to do it?
You, maybe one of your spirit guides.
Yeah.
Thanks. Ahead of time in the illusion of time, which doesn't exist. Right. We've already got it created in alternate reality. So
that's right. They're already there on WWX.
Right.
You know, imagine.
You mean you don't see it? You have to look in the alternate reality for that.
That's right, yeah. There must be the opposite of archive.org. the place where the blueprints exist, you know, this is what's going to happen.
The real Akashics.
Yeah. So we're Quora and Wayne. So talking of stuff and Solaris's website, what can people do to support the Solaris reality?
Well, I mean, I have a website. It's over there at Night Shadow Anomaly Detectives, and I think you posted my other website for readings, so you can access either one, and you can get a lot of information. Chin on Night Shadow Anomaly Detectives. If you want to donate, that's great. All donations go to research and investigations, and a lot of investigations associated with dispelling and finding ways to deter covert technology. So that goes into the right area. Also, my books are available on Amazon.com, so people can find my books there. And if they need a session or something like that, if they are interested in getting an assessment, I can they can shoot me an email, and of course I can go ahead and schedule them. That's how that works.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And books, Solaris.
I know. Come I on. Have books.
No, you've got books. How do people buy them? Come on, don't be shy.
Amazon.com, that's what I said.
Did you?
Were you not listening, Jason?
No, I don't know. You said it too quick. So
that's okay. Amazon.com, my books are available. You can look up my name, Solaris Blue Raven, you'll find them.
Mm-hmm.
So all heading there. My sci-fi is still in progress. It's almost ready. I know we talked before. It will be out. It will go live.
Hey, Solaris, how's that novel of yours coming?
It's a science fiction, and it's almost ready.
Good little character.
And it's been, like, on the back burner. And I don't know why, JP, but it's just been one of those things where it's just not been a priority to release. But I guess this is because I figure nobody wants to read it.
Oh, man, I'd love
like,
to read it.
Whatever.
I'd love
I know.
To.
You know, I'm sure there'll be a small percentage of people that will like it.
I'll proofread it for you. I'm going to be proofreading Sands of Time Book 3, which is so exciting.
Well, that's a novel. That's a thick book, I'm sure.
That's going to be.
And I can't write like Sean. I don't write books that are really lengthy. I don't even have the patience for myself to write books like that. I'm very efficient with writing. Yeah. I'm very quick. Mm-hmm. Just like my books are like technical manuscripts, and a lot of my books are very streamlined, and people are like, this reads like a technical manual. Well, it does, because that's kind of like how I write and how I think. So.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, but it cuts through the crap. And
well,
what we need right now, that's what we need right now.
I can't handle fluff. JP, I just wish, especially after the psychotronic stuff they threw at me with all those visuals, I'm like, no, I've had enough of the virtual field.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do any more of it.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's straight to the point.
Yeah, just show me the planet and I'll get there. That's it.
That's right, just show me a photograph.
That's right. I don't even need a photo. Just tell me what it is. Yeah. What do you want?
So that's a very interesting thing, this aspect of being anywhere and everywhere. There's this thing about Doctor Who's TARDIS. Are you a fan of Doctor Who's?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you are, I know that.
Oh yeah, totally. The thing about the TARDIS is that it's bigger on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But my feeling is that humans really are not machines. They're infinite on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are imagining that you're imagining something, perhaps you're not imagining it. Especially you're thinking it up. You know. Or maybe if you're just allowing it to exist and see what happens.
Well, there's creative visualization and there's manifest at will your own reality. Because we live in a holographic field and the brain is holographic, the body's a holographic design to some degree, you can easily manifest a reality. But is it real because you manifested it? Well, to some degree it is. But is it connected to the full light universe? Sometimes it's not. It depends on the multiversal state of consciousness. Some things are real in the multiverse that are based on truth, and other things are just personal will. We can create anything we want here on the timeline, but to what degree it ascends is another scenario. So that's another thing to look at. And then, of course, the screen memories they use with the psychotronic projection system. Now, that's another animal that has nothing to do with your psyche or your interests. That's just something they want to project into your brain. And, of course, that's only done through the interconnection program.
So screen memories are a very interesting subject because these are the things that abductees have had experience of by believing that they were being abducted by grey aliens, and they're actually being mylabbed with guys in grey, you know, green uniforms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ultimate mind hack.
Absolutely. So, I mean, how much interference does that take? What is the process of that?
Well, it takes interconnection with an artificial intelligence like what they did to me. It takes a target being interconnected and intimate with the program and then a handler, usually programmers, operators, and controllers. And what happens is they'll be shown images that are like a projection scene of false programs, false matrices. But when they abduct these people, they're trying to program them and actually abstract data from where they've been. Usually they're contactees. My labs are usually contactees. So they want to look for the source of the communication where these people have been. Uh-huh. They want to know their celestial heritage. They want to know the species. And also, when they create altars, they're actually trying to push to create an altar that's based on the person's soul celestial design. fine. In other words, if they're truly an off-world species and they have it in their DNA, they're going to push and push and push and try to extract that so they can recreate their own hybrid. So that's something people need to understand, that you are extraterrestrial, okay? So they can do that. They can try to decode the DNA, but it really isn't something they've been very successful at. They have a lot of Frankenstein projects, in my opinion. But in answer to your question, yeah, it's just an array system that they use interconnected onto a target. And they can do that through remote brain hacking, remote access. It doesn't have to be in person. You don't have to be physically taken to an underground base. This is all done by the satellite-driven technology. And, of course, you know, the beauty of this is the array system's coming down. I mean, now that we're onto this crap, it's like, forget it. You guys are lost now. Because we have control. We have the upper hand. The more we know about this stuff, the more power we have. That's a threat.
Weaponized thought.
Right. Well, that's what they've tried to do. They weaponize the brain, the body. Super soldiers are about that. They're weaponizing beings to get them to do whatever they need to do on a battlefield. You know, it's all about remote influence, remote access. Psychic ability, artificial telepathy is really big. You know, Colonel John Alexander, he touched on this eons ago. They were involved in that a long time ago with artificial telepathy.
Mm.
And now people are trying to say, well, you know, weren't you guys paying attention like 10, 15, 20 years ago? I guess not. And I'm not talking to the listeners. They're very savvy. But I'm talking about regular Joes and mainstream. I mean, now they're thinking this is a big deal. Well, it's been around forever.
Mm.
It's nothing new under the sun, right?
They haven't been watching the documentaries, have they?
I guess not.
We see your documentaries, and we have built you a ship.
You know what's funny? I always say I'm like Dr. Jackson in that movie Stargate because I'll never get paid. And it's like nobody reads my work. But it's always been right there, like on the front lines of communicating, like total, you know, a ton of information on covert technology and everything. But then later on somebody comes up to me and goes, oh, I remember when you were talking about this. I'm like, yeah, I remember too. So, oh well, I love it. At least it gets out there. That's the good part.
Yeah, well, it takes 10 years. That's it. I mean, it really did. 10 years to manifest.
Now I'm a lot older.
Yeah, well, it's okay. You've still got it, baby. You know, it's still...
I'm telling you, I'm getting up there in age. I'm feeling it now.
Oh.
They wasted 12 years of my life, plus or minus, you know.
Yeah.
An illusion of...
Well, you know, you spend it on another planet that was a very unpleasant place, and I'm sorry that you had to suffer.
Well, it was called this planet, JP.
Yeah,
fortunately,
yeah,
I'm not coming back.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is, you know, it was a different, you know. But
I know.
Frequency environment. That it's like a force, yeah, like a force, force. How, what do they call it? When you put dandelions under a bucket. They grow harder.
A shield?
No. When you put them in the dark, they grow harder.
I don't rotate.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's the sort of attitude that they
oh,
take.
Right. Well, that which does not kill us, yes, does make us stronger, without a doubt.
Mm.
Yeah, I live, as they say.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
You're still around.
Still alive.
And you've gone through the process, so now you know. You know what you know and all that stuff.
Yep.
And it's great. And, you know, I can see it. I can feel it and recognize it in people. And it's funny because a friend of mine came around about 2 hours just before my show. And he has gone. He's done it. He's done it this week. He's moved through a place and he's very much more present in his body. He solved a puzzle. And it's broadened his knowledge and his base. And he's like... He knows what he knows. It's literally
Excellent. Literally
concrete because he's a plasterer and he's been finding a traditional ancient mix of how they made the thing, and he's, you know, he's come up with the alchemical formula of it. It's brilliant. He's done a genius job. I'll have to get him on the show one day once he's calmed down from the whole thing.
Right. Well, you know what happens after you reach that level? You start all over again.
Yeah, because then it's like, oh, right, so this is it?
No, it's like black belt. Once you get to black belt, you become a white belt again. Goes to the next level. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, we see, but all of it goes back to the soul of the lesson, and it gets archived into the cellular design. That's the nice part of it.
So... my multicellular friend. what's next for Solaris? What's your current projects and about, you know, your radio show? You do the one on Saturday night. Who do you have this morning? I wasn't around, so.
I had a producer on just recently. Let's see here, for the Montauk. gosh, his name escaped me because you asked me about it. That's right.
All right.
Hang on for a minute here. Good grief. Are you asking me who I'm going to have on Tuesday? No, Christopher Garantano was on for Raven Star's Witching Hour. That was last night, Saturday.
All right.
So he's a producer of the Montauk Chronicles, by the way.
Yes.
Excellent show.
Yes.
If you didn't tune in, there's an archive for it. But yeah, he's incredible. He's very knowledgeable. We had a good discussion on mind control and the illusion of. So a lot of things happening over there at Montauk.
Excellent. Because I produced Stuart Swerdlow for a few shows a couple of years ago, and he was one of the guests on his show, obviously, because of the Montauk thing. So that's where I first heard about Montauk Chronicles, and I couldn't wait. And is it out now?
It's out, yeah. I suggest
the publicity run.
Take a good look at it.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're going to promote it. Montauk Chronicles, yes, please check it out. And also, it's kind of disturbing, but it's well done to a point where it's not too disturbing. In other words, it's obviously not happy information, but he did such a good job with it that I really think people should take a good look at it for educational purposes only, I mean, beyond anything else.
So you've seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. And
absolutely.
Go ahead. Tell me.
No, go ahead. I didn't have anything else to say. It was an excellent film.
So, what's this in a way? Is it like a talking head film where people talk about stories?
No, it's more of a documentary mixed with some imagery, some really good images, and some interviews associated with the people who are really there. And he did a very good job with the soundtrack, everything from the music to the ambiance of the film. Very well done, very serious about it. It wasn't one of these candy-coated films, and it's done in such a professional, serious way. Because as we know, many lives were lost and a lot of children were taken. So it's really good to address this information on a serious scale. Because we can't just forget that things happen here. We have to understand that there's been some insidious programs that have been running rampant, and there's a bleed-through effect from all that.
Mm. And more than a bleed through, that they have messed with. I was going to use that, but they have messed with millions.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, we're talking generations,
and we're not talking just like by proxy on TV, but like actually, you know, they're using time travel to steal people and mess with their heads, and then put them back a second before they arrived.
Right, and a lot of the things with the time travel, and we discussed this last night on my show, but literally it's about psychotronic programs once again. It's about taking people in their head to a destination that really wasn't there. In other words, they thought they went someplace and they really didn't. It reminds me of the trip chairs in Total Recall. They think they're going someplace, but they really went nowhere. They're getting lobotomized in the chair. I mean, literally what's happening is they're getting psychotronically impacted by the program. It's creating all these alternate realities through their psychic ability, through their natural consciousness. And then they're trying to create these spin-offs. But what it really is that they're not traveling in time, in the illusion of time. There is no such thing as time. Time is a benchmark of measure. Space is consciousness in motion. Those things are components created by man, and they know this. So what they are doing is understanding that the brain can be hacked, and we can access and program things in there to create a virtual space. It's like a holographic projection scene. You know, you take the mind, and you want to project that imagery, but then you want to reverse it out and show everybody what that person's seeing and how it's interacting with another artificial intelligence program. I know it sounds kind of complex, but that's what they're up to. They're up to the psychotronic feeds in the programming system.
And
to create that reality. You know that beast very well.
We're going to have to continue this conversation lots. I mean, I love speaking with you. Thank you so much, Solaris. We're at the end of the show. It's been... go on.
JP, it's wonderful.
It's always...
It's wonderful to have you on. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
This has been the Solaris Blue Raven Hour. Remember, we played your theme tune at the beginning. We maybe should just play the theme tune.
Thank you, my new show. Hurrah.
So, actually, I'm going to segue your one into mine. Anyway, this is Ever Beyond. Thank you. This was Raven Star's Witching Half Hour. Actually, it is the Witching Hour. It's the midnight here in the UK. So thank you so much, Laura. It's been a real laugh. And a real education, and you have to listen. People listen to this show about five times, and then you'll be starting to decode it because there's a lot of coding.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much. So I'm just going to play some of this. Thank you very much, Solaris. Good night.